$700.
And they didn't really give them to you then for $700?
We called, but they usually cost $1,300.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So you got them for half anyway.
If any of you got United Healthcare, you can get a bargain. This year, they're going down to $330 a piece.
Maybe I need a bag. I don't know what it'd be if I had a bag.
You would turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7:14. You probably heard this one during your revival. I don't know if you did or not. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If it's any time that we need this message today, it's what America is fixing to get into. We are in dire need. We need to pray for our nation. The Bible says if. That means if we will obey. Obedience is something that God wants us to have. To be obedient, we have to be faithful. Moreover, it is required of a steward to be found faithful. If God tells us to read our Bibles, if God tells us to pray, if God tells us to come to church, if God gives all of these commandments, we can tell if we love God by if we keep his commandments. If we don't keep God, the Bible says we're a liar and the truth is not in us. Faith without works is dead. We must live in that if. Who are the people that belong to God? One that have been born again. John 3:1-3 says you must be born again. Not only that, but we had to be redeemed. We had to be brought back from sin. We were sold unto sin, sold into slavery, sold out to the devil, sold out to the flesh. But praise God, God lifted us up out of that miry clay, set our feet on a solid rock and established our going and put a song on our lips. So if my people, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Price was that blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He bought us back. And praise God. In a Roman prison, they would put you in prison and they would put a plaque outside the door. And they would list all of your sins. And that you could not get out of that prison until every one of those things that were against you was completed. I don't know how they expected you to complete it in prison, but anyway, I guess there was a certain amount of time that was with each thing that they had listed against it. The Bible calls it handwriting of ordinances that was against you. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he said, it is finished. He paid the price for all of our sins. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. He took away our sin and gave us his righteousness, just like the woman with the issue of blood. He took away her disease, her infirmity, and gave her his virtue. And so it is with us, if my people. We are the people of God. We are the children of God. God has reached down in his infinite mercy and raised us up and set in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now We are the sons of God. And it may not appear what we're going to be, but we know when he shall appear, but we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If my people, which are called, I'm glad, praise God, there's a general calling and an affectional calling, effectual calling. General calling, people hear the message and it just goes in one ear and right out the other one. There was no gray matter in between. But I'm glad, praise God, we can take a effectual calling. That's when God reaches down in his infinite mercy and saves us by his marvelous grace. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. But we gave up our identity. We're no longer in this flesh, but we've been saved by the grace of God. So therefore, we are a new creature created in Christ Jesus. And praise God, we can walk in newness of life. We've mortified, put to death that old man. And praise God, now we're walking in that newness of life. If, my people, we are commanded as his people to do what? Humble. Humble. We've been saved for his name's sake. They were called Christians in Acts 11:26. And in Acts 26:20, there was a man named Agrippa. He heard the story Paul told about how he was stopped on the road to Damascus and how he was saved by the marvelous grace of God. And he asked Agrippa, "Do you believe this?" And he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. How many people have come to church, heard the message, and then turned around and walked out the door and almost became a Christian? There are so many, so many. But we were saved for his name's sake. Nothing we done, nothing we could do, but we were saved for his namesake. And we bear the name Christian. And I'm glad, praise God, we can say, "I'm a Christian." I'm glad, praise God, we need to walk out here with your head held high and saying, "I am a Christian and I'm saved by the grace of God." Amen. Don't want no pride in there. But at the same time, praise God, we can rejoice because we are a Christian. And God has done a wonderful work in our life in calling us by his name. First thing we got to do is humble ourselves. When we got saved, we had to humble ourselves and come down to an old-fashioned altar. Without humbling ourselves, it wouldn't have mattered if we come down to the altar. But when you come down to the altar, I remember the time that I came down to the altar at Lively Stones Baptist Church in Pelham. I'm glad, praise God, that God done a working in my heart, and I came down to the altar and cried crocodile tears because I couldn't take it no longer. God had done ripped my heart out, and he humbled me, took away all that pride that I had being who I was. The old man passed away, but praise God, I became a new creature created in Christ Jesus. He started breaking me down. I used to run and I used to shout and I used to be somebody that was hollering, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Boy, God humbled me and I started crying. And I would cry and cry and cry. He was ripping the very insides of me out. I used to fill up towel after towel after towel, sitting in the pew and just crying and crying and crying. We've got to get that old foolish fleshly pride out of the way. We got to mortify the flesh and live a good Christian life that others can see our life, because sometimes that's the only thing the world will see. If we look like the world, talk like the world, and act like the world, we're not going to get them in. But I'm glad, praise God, when God done a working in our heart, he gave us a new pathway to walk on. It wasn't the broad road that leaded to destruction, but it was the straight and the narrow that leads to eternal life. And I'm glad, praise God, that the things that I once thought was great, it no longer great to me. Those things that was in the world, and I thought that was the best. You want to give an example, go by the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, I had everything that a man could desire and his heart could desire. Maid servant, men servant, horses, wives, everything that a man could possibly want, I had. And then when I looked around it, it was but vanity. Won't no count. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what have you gained? Praise God. I don't know of anything in this world I would trade for my soul. Praise God, it ain't worth it. How much longer? I've lived to be 74 years old. And how much longer am I going to live? If I gave my soul up just to live a few years longer, what will I have gained? But gladly give it up for a mansion in that sky, for a Lord that loves me. And one of these days, maybe I can take a crown and lay it at his feet and praise him for what he's done. But it says you've got to humble yourself. Isaiah 57 and verse 15 tells us, for thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. We've got to humble ourselves. Let God take control of our life. And the Bible said we need to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is but our reasonable sacrifice. We need to completely sold out to God, not hanging on like Lot's wife, hanging on to what was back yonder. I ain't seen anything back yonder that I would trade for what I know now. If there was no heaven and no hell, I would rather live a Christian life than to live for this world. Because all it's gonna, I was talking to a man the other day at the hospital when she was at, and it was a little black lady laying there too, and we was having a Holy Ghost revival right there in that waiting room. He was a good Christian man from over here at Ridgeway, and praise God, we was just hooping it up and hollering and having a ball. But what happened was, I looked at him, and she was talking about the troubles she was having and everything, and I said, well, you know what the Bible says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And not only that, John 14, he says, in this world you shall have tribulation. So don't look like that you're going to have a bed of roses while you're in this world. You ain't going to have them. There's sickness, there's heartache, there's death, there's everything that you could possibly imagine. But I like the last part of that John 14 verse. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world and all that's in it. I've got a Lord. I became skin of his skin and bone of his bone. And praise God. Now the world doesn't seem so harsh after all, because I've got one that's on my side. For if God be for us, who can be against us? If my people shall humble themselves. Get on your knees. When we got saved, we had to get out on our knees, cry out unto God, save me a sinner, Lord. And God saved our souls. And pray. What happened right after we got saved? We started praying. As a Christian, we realized that our power comes from God. Ephesians tells us that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We see that also in Philippians. We see it also in Ephesians that says he's able to do far exceedingly above what we even ask or think through the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. And praise God. What do we do then? We pray. It's just like hooking a battery cable up to a generator to get it all charged up. We've got to reach out to God and get our batteries recharged, because this world will flat pull us down fast. It pulls us down. Don't give us time. It wants to make us have to work on Saturday, Sunday, so much that we ain't got time to pray. We ain't got time to read our Bibles. We ain't got time to come to church. I told him the story about how I worked for Shelby D. Johnson. And I worked for Shelby D. Johnson. Then I told him, I said, when they hired me, I have to be off on Wednesday night because I'm a pastor. I have to be at church. Fine. Worked almost a year. And then all of a sudden, what did they tell me? No, you've got to come in now. That was fine to start with, but now you've got to come in. I said, you hired me. You got the right to fire me if you want to, but I ain't coming in on Wednesday night. I told you that from the beginning. And you know what? She went to her boss and talked to him. I got an 8-to-5 job out of it when I was having to work way up in the mornings. You be faithful and God will be faithful. Trouble is we ain't got in the backbone. We won't stand up to the world. But we've got to stand up to it. I'm afraid I'll lose my job. I didn't lose mine. Not only that, when I left Fieldcrest County Mill, they asked me, what are you going to do now? You done spent 20 years here. What are you going to do now? I said, the Lord gave me this job and the Lord will give me another one. And 2 weeks later, I was working again. God's on my side. The world ain't got a chance if we just believe. We need to pray. And what else does it say? And seek my face. When God is disappointed with us, when Jesus is disappointed with us, he turns his face from us. Numbers chapter 6, a prayer there, may God's face shine upon you. I want his face to shine upon me. I want to see his approval. You know, most of the time when somebody disapproves of something, they'll turn their back on you. You can't see the face no more. But I got news for you. God said, seek my faith. Seek my approval. I want to bless you. I want to anoint you with good things. I want to open my hands and just pour out my blessings upon you. All you got to do is seek my face. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek, seek, seek. You know, the only time we'll seek God is when we get in trouble or we want something. When was the last time you sought God out and told him you loved him? I try to go to bed every night and pray, say, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Ghost, I love you. I want him to know that I love him. He says, if you love me, you will seek my face. What else you got to do? You got to turn from your wicked ways. We say, well, we've been saved. Why should we live any longer in sin? The Holy Spirit's within us. He can lead us. He can guide us in the way of the paths of righteousness. He can lead us there. All we got to do is listen to him. But we would rather go our way. The old Elvis Presley song said, I did it my way. That's what's wrong with the world today. We're trying to do it our way. We got to give ourselves to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is but our reasonable service. And be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Get out of our own way and turn it all over to him. And praise God, he can set us free. He says that if the Son has saved you, you can be free. If the truth has saved you, you can be free. The truth can set you free. We need to turn from our wicked ways. What makes them wicked? When we try to do it in our power. You can't do it. You got to turn it all over to God. Just lay yourself out and say, God, here I am. I got a little dash ham, miniature dash ham at the house. He sees me coming to him. You know what he does? He just flops himself out like that with his belly straight up. In other words, I'm giving myself to you. I know I can't run. I know I can't get away. So here I am. And he wants his belly rubbed. And it's the same way with us. If we would just see the Lord, seek the Lord, pray, and then just give ourselves completely to him. Oh, what a blessing it would be in our life if we could just turn it all over and believe God for everything. I was telling them the other day, I went up the other day to a revival, and there was a man there, been saved, had been in the church teaching Sunday school, had been in the church for 31 years. And he just got saved in March of this year. He taught Sunday school. He'd been a good church member. The devil will fool you. Oh, I come to church, I'm all right. You're not all right until God does a working in you and you truly are saved. Warming the church pew won't get you to heaven. But that man got saved after 31 years of church service. Thought he was doing fine, teaching Sunday school, various other things. We've got to give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, if you will do these things, if you'll humble yourself, if you will pray, if you will seek my face, if you will turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven. God's ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous. He will hear if you pray with a sincere heart. And if you went through this formula of praying, seeking his face, being humble, God says, I will hear. And I will forgive thy sin and will heal thy land. Boy, does America need healing. It needs it bad. Not only us, but if this nation doesn't straighten up in a few more years, it'll be gone as we know it. It'll be gone as we know it. Most of us is getting into the latter years. We're getting into the years when we're going to leave this old world one of these days. For it's appointed unto man wants to die. But what if our grandchildren is going to do? What are we going to do in this country if all the Christian rights is taken away. Folks, pray for your country. Please pray for your country. It needs it. We're so divided. It's unreal. I appreciate y'all letting me come back again. Always enjoy it when I come out here. I pray for Brother Donald. My wife prays for him. We pray for your church. And we love for you to come. Sorry I couldn't make you out here to your revival. My wife's been sick. In fact, she spent 4.5 hours in the hospital yesterday. She was taking a chemical stress test and various other things. She got to go back a Friday and have another test done. And so y'all be much in prayer for her. We need your prayers. She fell the other day. I couldn't get her up, didn't have nobody around that could get her up. So she had to crawl across the floor to the living room to get up out of the floor on a chair. So y'all be much in prayer for her. I told her the other day that I was thinking about just giving it up. Not preaching anymore. I've preached 3 times since. She says, "See there? I told you God won't through with you yet." 3 times in 3 weeks. That's unreal. And every time I'm sitting at home and the phone rings, there I go. Not only that, but I preach at night up at Promise Baptist. When I was telling you that the revival, the fall festival is going to be. Y'all pray for me. Remember me in your prayers. One of the ladies said they dreamed of something, thought about me the other day. I'm glad, praise God, somebody did. I need all the prayers I can get. Brother Donald, same way. Y'all pray for him. Keep him always in your prayers. Brother Bill, you want to finish it out? Always turn it over to the pastor, and you're second in charge. Come on, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you.